Right. Luke chapter 2, as we continue our study in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And tonight we want to be looking at verses 15 through 20. So Luke chapter 2. If we can read together from verse 8 down to 20, so that'll just keep us in the context of the passage there. But Luke chapter 2, and we read together from verse 8 down to and including verse 20. So verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch of their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you and bless you again for the privilege of singing your praises. Lord, we have so much to praise you about, so much to be thankful for. And Lord, as the old hymn writer said, though we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun to praise you and glorify your name. Father, thank you. We've been able to read your word together again tonight. And Lord, may you bless our time now as we look into this particular passage regarding the shepherds and the Mary. We give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to see tonight is particularly the faith of the shepherds. The faith of the shepherds. They'd heard a message. Remember back in verse 10 and 11, the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And so they get a message from the angel, This shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And it's interesting what they say there in verse 15. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. And the idea of the word there, where it says shepherds said one to another, the word said has this idea of the tense is like continuing. It's like saying, we need to get down to Bethlehem. Hey, we need to go to Bethlehem. Hey, we need to go down there. That's the idea of what it said when it says they said one to another. And let us now go even unto Bethlehem. And so one thing we know, they believed the message, amen. They didn't go, oh, this must have been some dream or this some, you know, whatever. We've been, no. They believed what the angel told them. That's what faith's about, isn't it? Believing. It's as simple as that, really, in a sense. But they believed the message. And they said there, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, one to another, and see this thing which has come to pass. Okay, so again, They weren't doubting, were they? You know, sometimes people, oh, well, I know what the Bible says, but, yeah, the Bible says this, but, no. If the Bible says it, there's no need to go, yeah, but, what about this? No. If God says something, that settles it, amen? Now, for these shepherds, there wasn't any question in their mind. Let us go even unto Bethlehem. Let's do it. We've got a message from the angel, and we're not doubting about it. Notice what it says there again. This thing which is come to pass. It's not, well, if this thing comes to pass, we'll go down. No. They accepted literally what the angel said. Amen. The angel said, this is what's going to happen, and there'll be a baby, and it'll be in a manger, it'll be all good. Let's go see it. Let's go. Come on. Hey, come on, we need to go. Come on, let's go. Well, that's what real faith's about, isn't it? We hear the word of God and we believe it. And I'd suggest we ought to be a little bit excited about it as well. Amen. Oh, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. And notice what it says next, which the Lord hath made known unto us. All right? They accepted this message was from God. This wasn't some dream or anything else. This message was clearly a message from God. Okay, they hear what the angel says and they accept this is from God, and like if it's from God, we better get and do something about it. We believe. We don't have any doubts anymore. We accept. You say, how could they be so sure? Only by the Spirit of God. It's through the Spirit of God. Remember, He's the teacher. He's the one who guides and leads us into all truth. And if we'll allow Him to, He'll bring us to that place where we can read that and say, yep, that's what it says. Amen, let's do it. And so we see that here. It was from the Lord, and they accepted it as such. Now in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes you read the scripture and think, I wish there was a little more detail here. Yeah, I wish there was a bit. I mean, there's more to the story. I mean, they didn't just say, oh, see you later, sheep, we're going. They would have had to somehow organise someone to look after the sheep, or whether one or two stayed behind or whatever happened. They just, you know, these are faithful. We've seen it before. These are faithful men looking after the sheep. I mean, they've been faithful. They've been courageous. All that. They're just going to walk away. Oh, well, sorry, sheep, we've got to go down to Bethlehem now. Now, again, that we don't know what took place there, so I'm not going to try and imagine too much. You could finish up the wrong tree, but nevertheless, they came with haste. Okay, they came with haste. Now, when we've got real faith, what happens? People see it, don't they? They came with haste. Their faith is seen by their actions. Now, in verse 15, let us now go. Let us now go. Okay, there's faith. Let's not put it off. We've heard from God. Let's just do it. Amen. That's how it ought to be. Let us now go. But then notice what it says in verse 16 again. And they came with haste. Then you go, well, we need to go and have a look. See, you know, maybe tomorrow or something like that. It's probably a bit late now at night to go visiting. Who knows? Whatever. No. They let us go now, and they came with haste. They were serious about things, weren't they? They're not like some people. Yeah, okay, and then don't do it. Yeah, I know that's what God says, and then they don't do it. Or if they do it, it's somewhere down the track or whatever. No. The idea of faith is what we see exhibited here in these shepherds. They hear the message, they believe it, they talk about it, and then they get out and do it. Amen? And they do it quickly. It's like, how many times have we said it with children? You know, when you're training children, what's one of the key things that you're going to train them in? Obedience. It's a key thing that children need to be trained in, obedience. Why? Well, you think about it. As a believer, what's the indication that I love God? If you love me, you keep my commandments. Obedience tells me and tells other people that I love God. And so we need to teach our children obedience. Remember that, you know, we love singing the song, don't we? Obedience is the very best way. Show that we... Yeah, well, that's true. It is. These people, these shepherds believed. Why? Because they were obedient to what they'd been told. They didn't have, 10 pages of scripture or anything, but they'd been told there's a saviour born down there in Bethlehem. You need to go and have a look. See you later. We're out of here. We're going down there. And so with children, they need to be taught obedience. Now, what sort of obedience? Remember what we say? First time obedience. That's what needs to happen. First time, not, look, this is the 10th time I've told you this. No, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. Who's in charge there? Not dad or mum, that's for sure. Are the kids in charge? No. First time obedience. Okay? And how much should they obey? All that they're told, amen? I want you to put your clothes away in the cupboard and your shoes in the other drawer over there, whatever. And you go in there and you find the shoes are in the drawer but the clothes are still on the floor. That is not obedience. Well, I did some. No. Obedience is doing all that we're told. Amen? It's the same in our relationship with God. If children aren't taught that when they're young and trained up in the way they should go in that sense, what's going to happen when they're older? They're going to have lots of trouble walking with God. One of the biggest problems why Christians struggle if they haven't been saved at a young age, and you can still struggle anyway, because you've never learned to be obedient. First time, do all you're told, and what? With a good attitude. With a good attitude? Isn't that right? What was that, Paul? Yes, Dad. No. Let's do it again. What was that? Yeah. No. Let's do it again. Remember what we're supposed to have? Good attitude, all right? No, that's not a good attitude. All right, we have to go through this again. So how many times do you do that? Until they get a good attitude, amen? So it's first time, and it's all they're told, and it's to be done with a good attitude. A good attitude. There's three key things at least when it comes to obedience. And we see it here in these men. They believe. This is what God says. This is a word from the Lord. And let's go do it now. And let's hurry about it. Let's haste down there and do it. Amen? And would to God we could all be like that with the Lord. Amen? Lord, speak for thy servant here. Thank you, Lord. I'm about to do it. See you later. I'm out. I'm gone. We kind of laugh about it, but that's how it ought to be. Amen? That's how it ought to be. And that's why it's such a challenge for parents to train their children. Because the bent of the child is to do their own thing. Amen? I'll do it later. No, you won't. You do it now. Excuse me. I asked you to put that bin out with a good attitude. You haven't got a good attitude. Just wait here a minute. Pick up the bin. Bring it back. Now, put out the bin with a good attitude. Amen? Yes, Dad. That's not a good attitude. Here's how you do it. You pick up the bin. Yes, Dad. You take it out and you put it down. And then you come back and Dad says, well done, son, that was good. Now, here's the bin. Let's try it. Yeah, that's how it ought to be. It's called training. It's not teaching. Now, there's teaching involved, but it's training as well as teaching. You can teach till the cows come home and nothing's going to happen much. Yeah, heard all that before. Yeah. Now they have to be trained to do what they hear. That's, what the Bible says? We're to be doers, not just hearers only. Yeah, I heard all that before. Good, now go do it with a good attitude. And next time, do it straight away, all right? Your attitude's not good. Yes, Dad. Okay. What happens a couple of hours later? Now, remember what we said. No, we don't go down and remember what we said. Right, we've dealt with that. This is a new issue. Okay. God doesn't say, remember I've told you 15 times. We wouldn't be able to understand the number he told us if he said how many times he's told us something we haven't done it first time with a good attitude and everything all at once. Yeah. So we don't train our children by doing that. That's threatening them. We deal with this a whole new situation and we need to deal with it. Now, here's what I asked. And by the way, sometimes you ask them, if it's not clear, what did I ask you to do? Excuse me, what did I ask you to do? Just look at me. Don't look around. There's no stars up there. You don't have to worry. What did I ask you to do? Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. It does take a little bit of time, you know. That's called training. It's not done. Done deal. No. You say, but that could take time. Yes, it will take time. There's no question about that. But let me tell you, it's time well spent. Because if they don't learn that when they're young, guess what happens when they get older? It's going to be that much harder to learn it. It's going to be much more painful to learn it when they're older. Because God will be dealing with them then. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Yeah? So, lessons about faith. We do what we're told. When we hear it, we understand it's the word of God. We do it with a good attitude and we do it quickly what we're asked to do. Notice there again back in this passage, verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, it's interesting, isn't this? When you look back into verse 12, the angel said, "Ye shall find the baby." Now, this is a promise of a reward. You go and do what I tell you, you'll find the baby. The word down there in this verse 16 is slightly different. The word found has the idea of after a search, you will find. Notice the angel didn't give him an address, just said, go down to Bethlehem, you'll find the baby there, and this is the sign, it'll be in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. No address given. But that didn't bother. They knew the step we need is to get down there. We'll worry about it when we get there, amen? And so they begin to search and they begin to look for the promised blessing. There's a blessing in this. Come on, guys, we've got to find this baby somewhere in this town. It's not a huge place, only a village. And there can't be too many places where this baby is, surely. Let's get out there. And if it's in a manger, now how many places have got mangers around here? Okay, let's think about that. Yeah, okay, let's do it. Yep, you go. Okay, let's go. And they're searching out. They're searching it out. And you think about it. They had the privilege of being the first of mankind, except for Joseph and Mary, to see the new Messiah. Oh my, what a blessing, eh? I got a blessing for you. What's that, Mr. Angel? You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. You'll find the Saviour down there. And as we know, obedience always brings blessing. You do what God tells you to do, he'll bless you. That's God, isn't it? That's how he works. So in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Okay. Now, they've had the privilege of being the first to tell others now about Christ. Why? Because they've found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying. They've seen the baby. They've spoken. And again, I would have loved for God to put a little bit there about what they said to Mary and Joseph and what Mary and Joseph said to them. You know, that would have been interesting, wouldn't it? You know, here they are. What are you fellas here? We're shepherds. And, you know, we've had an angel came and told us we need to come down and see. We understand the Messiah, the Saviour is born, and we understand you're the folk. Well, I don't know what they said. It would have been a bit of an exciting time, though. Especially when they, you know, you can see the shepherds. They come into where Mary and Joseph are, and they said, we found him. We found him. That's what the angel said. Imagine. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, oh, isn't that interesting? You know, they found the baby. Just try and think a little bit. Don't, you know, get out in fairyland with your imagination, but just think about it a little bit. Oh, my. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Not only did they have the privilege of being the first ones to see the child, now they have the privilege of being the first ones to tell other people. Imagine that. What a privilege. I mean, these are shepherds who were disdained by the most people. People looked down on. God says, I'm going to use those fellas. And they're going to get out there and they're going to share the good news with people. Who's going to listen? God says, that's my problem. That's my problem. Theirs is to do what I want them to do. And so they go out. And I think they're a little bit like a new believer, say, amen. When someone gets saved, man, I want to tell someone. I've got to tell someone about the Lord. Whoa. What are they going to say? I don't know. We'll worry about that later. So after you've been saved for a while, what are they going to say? Yeah, I don't know. I think we'll have to be a bit careful here. I don't know. They might not be interested. I don't know whether I should talk to them or not. These blokes weren't worried about that, amen. They're out there. Let's do it. Come on. Woohoo. Come on. Let's tell them about the Lord. Oh, how do you know? Because I've seen him. Come on. Let's do it. I know this is from God. A new believer is keen to tell others, amen. And by God's grace, whether we've been saved 5 minutes or 5 years or 50 years, we should still be keen about talking to people about the Lord. Oh my. That ought not to be something we have on the back burner after a while. But you know what happens? We were talking about it out in the prison. I know I raise the prison every now and then, but on Friday night, I said, you know what happens with, you know, people get saved and they're all excited. Wow, I got saved. This is wonderful. You know, we're talking about people. And they talk to their friends. Most of them, you know, give them up and never talk to them again or whatever. Might get the odd one who might listen for 5 minutes and then that's the end of that. And then they talk to the family and the family go, yeah, that's good for you. You know, we're happy for you. If that keeps you happy, you know, whatever. And then they maybe talk to a couple of workmates, maybe one neighbour and that's it. They're done. Fixed, all fixed. Done the deal. Sadly, that's a lot of Christians. First 12 months, 2 years, they've spoken to probably more people than they will for the rest of their lives as believers. It's what happens. We ought to have the same zeal, and it'll be a little maturer maybe a little bit wiser how we approach some people. I remember Eric out in the prison, he said, I've learnt. Because he's one of these guys, he just confronts you, you know, like he's there. He's been there. He's been shot. He's sold drugs. He's been in all the bikie gangs in the world. Whatever. He's done it all, you know. And now he's for the Lord. Just really said, you know what? He said, I've learned. He said, God's told me, you just got to be a little bit careful sometimes how you talk to people. And I said, true story. And then he said to me another week or two, he said, you know what? He said, I really believe that God wanted me to move from the cottages there, the units, back into the cell block so that I could have someone to talk to about the Lord. I said, really? He said, yeah. And he said, you know what? I really prayed about it. I said, yeah, what happened? He said, I really prayed about it. And he said, there's a fellow who I'd spoken to once or twice before. And he was kind of a little bit open, you know. And he said, I was in the cell and this, and they're sharing it, and this guy comes in. He's the new tenant. And he said, I'm already keen. And so he said, of course, I start talking about the Lord a little bit. And he said, he's still a little bit open. And he said, he's going to come to my Bible study on Sunday. How good's that? I said, amen. Now, he's keen. That's the point I'm trying to make. He's keen. And Lord willing, in 10 years' time, he'll still be keen. Amen. That's the thing. You know, we don't always rush, yeah, like that. But there should be that keenness to talk to people. What happened? And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, like wherever they went, whosoever, let's tell them, you know, hey, guess what? We've just been down there, you know, whatever, whatever. We don't know what they told them. But oh my, you know, what does it say when they had seen it? They knew this was real. This is real. This is the baby that the angel told us about. It's quite clear. There was a sign that would be found lying in a manger. This is the one. No doubt about this. God's confirmed it for us. This is the real deal, we'd say. Oh, yeah. Just be telling others. We can't be the first sometimes to tell people, but we should tell people the old, old story. Amen. Just keep telling them. They'd seen it, and they knew this is true. What about the mockers and scholars? How do you know that's true? Have anybody say that? I say it all the time. My old friend Jerry and Graham, all these good fellas. How do you know it's true? I know it's true. No, you don't. Yes, I do. Said back in 1982, said the Lord saved me, and I know it's true. I can't give you a picture. I can't give you a recording or anything about it. But let me tell you, I know God is real. He saved me. And he's more real today than he ever was. Oh, you can't prove it. I don't have to. I know. I've seen what God can and has done. If you're not sure, ask my wife. She'll be able to tell you. It's been a couple of changes. Not many. You don't know, yes? Yes, I know. I know. I know because the Bible confirms what I am telling you. And I know it's true. What do they say? They made known abroad the saying which was told them. What are they doing? They're out telling them what God's told them. You know, there's a place to discuss things with people, and sometimes, you know, be careful we don't debate too much, but just tell them what the Word of God says. Jerry, we need to look at the Word of God. Yeah, if we look. Okay, yeah, you know what Paul and John, he got it all mixed up, he didn't get even the names right. And I said, okay, let's have a look at what the Bible says. We'll turn to Acts chapter 15, we'll see what the Bible says about that. Yeah. I said, hang on, just this is what God's Word says. Remember, this is why we're looking at it, because it's God's Word. And so we got back into Genesis chapter 3, and we went to a couple of places in Genesis 12. By this time, he's carrying on a bit. And I said, Jerry, here's the situation. And I shared this, I think, with a couple of folk. We're now in a courtroom. I said, I'm the judge, okay? And we're here today to prove that the Bible is not true, okay? Yeah. I said, okay, next witness, please. Jerry, come forward. I said, you come forward. And he said, yeah, it's all rubbish, it's not true. I'm the judge, remember? All right, Jerry, before we go any further, can I ask you a question? Yeah, what's that? Have you read the Bible through yet? No. Case dismissed. Next, please. Said, Jerry, seriously. All this mocking and scoffing, you haven't even read it. It's foolishness. Oh, yeah, whatever. I need evidence. All right. We might get some for you. We'll see. I've got a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I'll bring it around for you. Dropped it around next day. He goes, oh, yeah, I don't think it's too much for me to read. I said, well, you asked for it. I've given it to you. See, one of the problems is the lack of willingness to believe, isn't it? And I can understand that, 82 years old, and you've got to say that everything I've believed for my life has been a lie. Everything I've been trusting in doesn't account for anything for eternity. Big ask, isn't it, at 82? It's not impossible, but it's pretty hard. Pride, all that. But they went abroad, And they're sharing the saying which was told them concerning this child. What are they doing? They're preaching Christ. Amen. They're preaching Christ to people. They're preaching the Word of God. Their message is all about the Lord Jesus. Yeah, well, why did God make that bird like that? I don't know. He did. That's okay, isn't it? Let's get back to the gospel. Let's get back to the important things. And so they went abroad, whosoever would listen, they told him. You notice next there in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The idea is they marvelled and they were amazed. But I wonder how many of them really believed and went to see for themselves. The Bible doesn't tell us, that's okay. But I wonder how many of them said, we need to get down and have a look. This sounds really good. It's a bit like, you know, you share the gospel with someone and people go, wow, that's amazing. I think I'll come to church on Sunday. Oh, maybe they're, you know, sometimes I've seen people like that and I said, oh, yeah, it's good to see you in church here on Sunday, sitting up the back there. Oh, that wasn't you. Oh, you said you were coming. I assumed it was you. Yeah, right. Oh, dear. I'll come, but... Yeah, I wonder how many actually went down and had a look for themselves. I don't know. That doesn't matter in one sense, just a thought. But they wondered anyway. They were amazed, as they would be. You know, it's like when you share your testimony, people are amazed. And you'll get people say, boy, I wish I had what you got. They're amazed. They can't understand, they can't work it out, but they'll wonder about it. Especially if they've known you for years and they see the change. They go, how'd this happen? What's happening here? They wonder. They don't all get saved though, but they wonder. And verse 19, but Mary kept all these things. She preserved them. She kept them from ruin, the idea is. She tucked them away and thought about it. And again, it'd be interesting to talk to Mary one day. That'll be good. Get to be with the Lord and have a talk to her. And say, Mary, what was it like then? You're down there and you've had the baby and you and Joseph are kind of just getting settled down, and then all of a sudden these guys turn up, these shepherds turn up, and they're telling you what happened, and they had an angel come to them, and they're down there, they're all excited, and how did it go? She said, yeah, I tucked that away in my memory. I thought, yeah, okay. That's what happened for me. An angel came to me. These guys had an angel. Okay, this is clearly confirmation from God that what I heard wasn't a dream. And, I don't know what. Interesting. She knew God was working, that's for sure. And she pondered those things. She pondered them. She thought about it, and weighed it up, and just kept it there in her heart. I'm going to ask her one day about that, maybe. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. The shepherds now, they've done what God wanted them to do, and now they're going back to work again, amen? Back to the sheepfold, back to looking after the sheep. They've been used of God to spread the gospel, now they're going back to work again. Doesn't mean they never did it again, I'm sure they did. But they did at that point what God wanted to do, and now they go back to the mundane. You know, a lot of the Christian's life just mundane. Got to go home, clean the house, cook the meals, go to work. Oh, that's just normal. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not unscriptural or unbiblical. It's just life. But there'll be occasions when you get to talk to someone, and then that puts a skip in your step, amen? That'll get you excited. And so they come back and they're rejoicing, they're glorifying and praising God. Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Guess what? God's word's true. Sorry, Jerry, God's word's true. And sorry, Graham, God's word's true. When God tells you something, it's true because it's his word. And God cannot lie. And so they're praising God and rejoicing. And by the way, don't forget to praise and thank the Lord for his blessings. Thank the Lord when you get an opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. What a privilege that is. Lord, thank you for that. That's just, and Lord, it wasn't anything I did. It was just it's amazing how you got that set up, Lord. That's just wonderful. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I want to just close out with a quote from J.C. Ryle. Speaking about the shepherds, he said this: may our spirit be like theirs. May we ever believe implicitly, act promptly, and wait for nothing when the path of duty is clear. So doing, we shall have a reward like that of the shepherds. And he says, the journey that is begun in faith will generally end in praise. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for tonight and the blessing of looking into your word. And Lord, we can only guess what it must have been for those shepherds. It must have been an exciting time. And they knew it was you who were speaking to them through the angel. And Lord, they were obedient. They just did it. They didn't wait. They got busy doing what they needed to do, what they knew you wanted them to do. And they did it with haste. They did it, Lord. And then having seen what you'd promised they would see, then they went out and told others, spread it abroad. And then after that, they praised and glorified your name. Lord, may we see in their lives, Lord, an example for us to follow in our lives. And so, Father, again, we thank you and bless you in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.